Hey, welcome back, everybody. Time once again for another OC Spotlight, the one show, the only show that shows you the most incredible people doing the most incredible things right here in Orange County. And today, is there any way to describe this production than incredible? It's called The Million Dollar Quartet. It's about that famous recording many moons ago down at Sun Studios, I believe, with Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Elvis Presley, if I'm not mistaken. And today we have with us the actor who's playing the part of Johnny Cash. Is that right, sir?
That is right.
All right, introduce yourself here so I don't mispronounce your name or say something wrong here. Who are you? And
all right. My name is Chris Marsh Clark.
Okay. And you're the actor playing Johnny Cash.
That's right.
Could there be a more iconic, all of them, Elvis, did I get it right? It's Elvis, Johnny Cash,
that's
Carl
right,
Perkins.
That's right.
And Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah.
Tell us the
you
story.
You were about to say, it sounds like, could there be a more iconic person? I was like, yeah, I think it's Elvis.
Yeah. All of them were pretty well established icons. But when they did this, tell us the backstory of this show. I've read a little bit about it before. Apparently, they were all at this little Sun Studios down in, where is it, Memphis or something. Before, they were all real big stars. They were small, up-and-coming stars. And for some reason, they all, what, recorded together one night? What's the story?
Yeah, so to be honest, my knowledge is about 80% Johnny Cash and about 20% Sun Studios. So there might be some really diehard like rockabilly rock and roll fans.
They're going to call and say, no, you got that wrong.
Yeah, no, it was this. But basically, it was this night on December 4th, 1956 at Sun Studios in Memphis. And you were absolutely right. At this time, Johnny Cash was 24, Carl was 24, Elvis was 21, and Jerry Lee was 19. So Elvis had just left Sun Studios to go to RCA.
Right.
And he was starting to be in like movies and stuff, but he wasn't yet
Elvis,
as
yeah.
We know him. He was certainly the biggest star at that time.
At that table. Moment,
but,
yeah. Right.
Yeah. But like Johnny, I always like the casting breakdown of this role. It always says Johnny Cash at the dawn of his epic career.
So yeah. So nobody knew who these people were going to become, clearly. Elvis was starting
correct.
To show. He had been signed by a bigger label and was going, you could see he was going somewhere. But I don't think it was real clear that Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee, or even Carl Perkins, any of these guys, they weren't unknown, but they weren't as known, and certainly nobody thought they were going to become, all of them, the icons that they became.
Yeah, they were not as known as they were going to be, but at this time, Johnny had number one hits in Walk the Line and Folsom Prison Blues, and Carl Perkins had, of course, Blue Suede Shoes, right. One of the biggest rock and roll songs ever. So they were known, but they weren't yet megastars.
They could still literally sit in a little studio, and go look it up, folks. Everybody my age knows the story of Sun Studios, with this guy Sam Phillips discovered all these guys and had a little kind of regional recording studio down in Memphis, very small little operation, and gave them their first shots and their first recordings. And then, of course, they all left and went on to bigger studios and bigger labels and bigger deals here. But for a moment, they were all there.
Yeah, and I actually got to visit Sun Studio back in March because I was in Memphis for a day, and it was surreal. As someone who has done this show, and now this is my third time doing it, and I knew I was going to be doing it when I was there, and it is just this tiny room with acoustic tiling that is very unassuming. And
they threw a handful of microphones in, one for the drum, one for the piano, and one for the singers probably or something. Probably half a dozen mics in the room here, yeah.
Yeah, it's just this tiny room where iconic records, like as I mentioned, Folsom Prison, Walk the Line, Blue
Great Blades, Balls of Fire, all that. I love Jerry Lee, all that stuff. Yeah.
So it all happened in there.
So how much? I take it you must have gotten the role because you must look or sound like him. I haven't looked you up, but I'm assuming that all of you bear some semblance to him. Or am I wrong? Everybody's just doing their own interpretation here.
I would say that this is a cast that we all look enough like the people, especially Jerry Lee, Elvis, and myself, enough that we are
convincing.
I'm a tall guy with dark hair, and I can do a relatively deep voice. So it's enough that like I am certainly not a spitting image of Johnny Cash, but when my hair is up in a pompadour and I'm wearing black and I say I'm Johnny Cash, you're like, sure, he's Johnny Cash.
You can suspend disbelief and I can meld into this moment. So what kind of research did you have to do for this part? And what other kinds of roles have you played? Do you play musicals all the time?
interestingly enough, I have made a career in the last 6 years of doing rock and roll baritones who played guitar. I just finished a year on the national tour of the Neil Diamond musical, Beautiful Noise, where I was an understudy for Neil. This is my third time playing Johnny. I've done two productions of Jersey Boys as Tommy DeVito.
There you go.
And I did the national tour of the Jimmy Buffett musical, Escape to Margaritaville, that played here in Orange County as well. So it's just this kind of career of channeling iconic singers.
And you just answered my question, because now that you say it, of course, I go, of course, but I didn't know that they were making that many musicals about iconic singers. But now you rattled off four or five of them there, and I'm going, oh, yeah, I know that. That seems to be then more than just a one-time thing. It's enough that you can make a career off of it, and it seems to be a trend that people are doing. Is it the nostalgia trend? It must be. To listen to the Four Seasons, to hear the story of the Four Seasons in Jersey Boys, to hear Neil Diamond's career again or something. Are we all at that age? I'm at that age, at late 60s, so I remember them all when they were young and first starting. Is it just a nostalgic look back, or is there a story here?
It is both. I think especially Million Dollar Quartet will tell you a lot of things about Sun Records that you probably didn't know. There's a lot of like inside baseball, because I think if I'm remembering correctly, the script was written by a team of a rock and roll historian and then a director. There are many times where we are giving the audience facts that they maybe didn't know and telling the story of the unsung hero that is Sam Phillips of Sun Records. And there's also a drama that goes through that I won't give away.
No, yeah. I'm trying to wonder, did they all get along? Did they all like each other? Was there a professional jealousies? Or you're going up and I'm not going fast enough or something here? I don't know.
Exactly. There's all of them. There's all of them. There's going back to the first thing that you asked, is that on this night, Carl Perkins was supposed to have a recording session, and it's December 4th, so Johnny and Elvis are in town, and they all stop by, and so I will say that the musical is a highly fictionalized version of what happened that night that synthesizes about 5 years of history into this one night and into this one year. But in our show, Carl is there to record a session, and Jerry Lee Lewis is a new studio pianist that Sam Phillips has brought on. And so Jerry's there, and Carl and Jerry don't like each other very much because Jerry's just showing off and doing his thing.
If he's anything like he was in the movies and everything else, but it seems certainly to be the killer, pretty pompous. Yeah.
Exactly. And then Elvis is coming by, and Carl and Elvis and Johnny used to tour the Mississippi Hayride together.
There you go.
The Louisiana Hayride.
Louisiana Hayride, that was it, right.
There it is. And so they all played together when they were 20, 21, 22, and so they haven't seen each other.
Louisiana Hayride, for those who don't, go look that up. If I'm not mistaken, it was a series of shows like at state fairs and stuff here, and it would go around.
Yeah, it wasn't huge.
And they would often be on the radio. Local radio was just local radio in those days, so you could hear it late in the night on some little lonely channel up in Louisiana somewhere as they were playing the local county fair or state fair or something here.
That's absolutely right.
All right, so why did we never hear about this collaboration until recently? Because I remember as a kid, they didn't issue the record, the Million Dollar Record, in the 60s. They all went on to have big careers and different kinds of careers. And yet, it wasn't until the last few years, I think, that people we all knew they were there, but I don't think they knew there was a recording anywhere. Does this recording still exist?
It exists, and you can listen to it. As I mentioned, this show is a fictionalized version of this night. We really only sing one song that they actually sang together. Remember, this is 1956 in Memphis, Tennessee, so all these boys were big Bible-loving Christians.
Absolutely, gospel singers, yeah.
Yeah, and so they mainly just sang gospel records, and they were jamming and bringing in things. Elvis wasn't necessarily busting out Hound Dog in the session. But we sing a song called Down by the Riverside that is the big song in that recording.
And down by the Riverside, down by the Riverside. I remember that.
One. And we actually play that recording in the show over us, but the recording is more just like interesting to listen to them interact in a room together. It is not the most entertaining of things. It's just like cool that they were all there and Sam Phillips just hit record and that whole thing is available. And I think
nobody knew at that moment what they were capturing.
Exactly. Sam Phillips recorded everything. He would go around recording things, and especially in that moment, he was a visionary of what rock could be. And so he had these guys in a studio, and he just hit record. And
what's the likelihood of these four rock and roll pioneers and country pioneers? Johnny veered away from rock and roll into more country. Carl Perkins was, I don't know, rockabilly or something.
Yeah. That, Father Rockabilly.
That cross between the two that existed for a while. And they certainly all, I must have had big egos, they certainly all must have dreamt for the moon. And yet this was the moment that they were still dreaming for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah, it's which is what I think is really interesting about the musical, is it's not an impersonation show. We're not just doing four guys singing their songs. There is a narrative arc that is guided by Sam Phillips, and there are secrets, and there are suppressed beefs and egos and all the things that you said. And so we do have a narrative arc, all the while their greatest hits of the late 50s are woven in there.
So this was a musical that played Broadway, what, several years ago when it first came out? It was a big hit.
I think in 2010.
And so it's been around for a while, and it's now been moving through the various, what would you call, regional circuits, the regional places?
It's available for licensing, and different regional houses will license it and put it on.
And what amazes me always about South Coast Repertory is it's that. It is our regional playhouse, but they also periodically in between put in original productions. And I don't think many or any of these regional houses that I'm aware of around the country or on the West Coast do that. They're mostly just a place you go see something that started on Broadway and now it's playing the country here. Mm-hmm. South Coast Repertory does that, but they also do original productions. I think that's a fascinating world. It's a place you go to hear that before anybody hears it.
They put on a lot of world premieres and sponsor a lot of developmental work. And sometimes, like I know last year there was a musical called Prelude to a Kiss that then was developed here and with Milwaukee Rep. And there are other, there's a very famous play called Anna in the Tropics that made its world premiere here and now is, I think it won a Pulitzer Prize. I might be talking out of my butt on that one.
But they've had those kind of successes where something, because it has to start somewhere. And they have that Playwrights Festival where they work with playwrights and breaking stuff, working stuff, getting it ready to go to the next level, whatever that next level is.
That's absolutely right.
I think it's a fascinating world there. I don't know if people fully take advantage of it. I think everybody will come to something like this because they've heard of it and they've heard the players and everything else. I think it's a bigger challenge to get somebody to come to a play you've never heard anything about. But that's the amazing part about their audience and what they do there. They develop both. Do you think this feeds the other? Do people come to see this because they've heard of it and they've heard of the actors and then maybe they'll stay and try something else they haven't tried?
I think you're absolutely right. And I think something I want to add to that is that South Coast Rep did this show only 3 years ago at Mission San Juan Capistrano as part of their Outside SCR series.
Oh, yeah. And which you've never seen is fantastic. I didn't see this, but I saw another production there. It's literally at the backdrop. There's the old ruins of the mission in the backdrop here. And you're outdoors doing it. That's wild.
Yeah, so we did the show there three years ago, and four out of the eight people on stage, including myself, are the same ones from the mission. And I know that the team at SCR did a little bit of research and found that only, I think, 30% of their subscribers saw it at the mission, and they wanted to see it. They brought it back. And once they're providing it to the audience that missed it. But also, I think exactly what you said is that shows like this that are Million Dollar Quartet, and you hear Elvis, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee, Carl Perkins, will have that name recognition.
Yeah, I know that, so I'll take a risk on that. I've heard about it. I've read about it. I know the players. Come on in. I may not know some play. I probably won't, and I wouldn't know some play that's just being developed there. So I think you get me in the door, and then I say, what else you got?
Exactly. It's an effort to build a new audience, and I think it's working because we're selling great, and we've got some great audiences, and people who would maybe not normally come to a theater, which is, I think, the rise of shows like we mentioned Jersey Boys, the Neil Diamond Show, the Carole King musical. We'll get people who are interested in music and maybe not theater, and then maybe they'll go see an original show.
So who would you say should come to this show? Is it any age? Is it a specific age? And is it somebody who has sophisticated love affair with musicals and Broadway shows or something like that, or just anybody? Because I can think of a lot of people I know, my grandson, my son-in-law, other, who would say, I don't know, I've never been to a musical. I don't know if I want to do that. And yet when they go, wow, that was something I've never seen before.
I find that a lot of people who don't like musicals just think it's weird when people start breaking the songs.
Yeah.
This show really is a play that has songs in it.
Okay.
Johnny isn't singing Walk the Line as a love ballad. It's
like Johnny as he's walking to the grocery store and he just bursts out singing,
It's like, Johnny, sing Walk the Line. Okay. And I'm at a Shure microphone and we're all playing the music together. Everyone plays their instruments.
I have a couple of those old Shure microphones like that, or the modern versions of them, that you see that they would hold their hand around and they would caress the microphone as they held it in their hand here. Those famous microphones from the 40s and 50s and stuff
here. Singing into those. We have every sound, every lead guitar, every piano, every drum, every bass, every note is done live.
Wow. So there is, you're not just mimicking it to a tape or track or something, or just singing over a track here,
Correct. So it is at once a live concert. It is a play. It is a documentary. It is so many things at once, because there is high drama. There's great music. It's everything. And I think in terms of ages, I think people who were around when this music was made, they feel that nostalgia and just we always get it. It made me remember what that was like when it came out.
Exactly.
We get their kids who grew up on that music because their parents showed it to it. And then we also get kids who just love music, who are blown away by people playing live on stage for 2 hours.
That's so the opportunity. I'm thinking of taking my 11-year-old grandson, who's never seen anything like this, who's never seen a live production, and to see what that's like, to bring, I don't feel love it, I don't feel hate it, but I know it would be something that he'll be amazed by, because I'm always amazed when I go see live productions versus a movie or something here. There's something different about it, a lot different about it.
I got to do this show at Alabama Shakespeare Festival 2 years ago, and we had three student matinees where we had middle schools, high schools, elementary schools come and see the show at 10 in the morning. And those were some of my favorite audiences.
There you go.
I'm as someone who grew up playing guitar when I was in the first grade, I think about if someone took me out of algebra and showed me people playing rock and roll, I'd be like, that's amazing.
So did you grow up here locally, or where are you from? Are you a local Orange County kid?
I am from Dallas, Texas, and I live in New York City.
Okay, so no connection. So when you're in Dallas, again, were you exposed to not just this music, but to live productions and stuff? Did your parents take you to live theater? Because Dallas is a big city like Orange County is, but I don't know if there's a ton of live theater there.
Oh, Dallas is an incredible city for theater. I know SCR won the Regional Theater Tony Award back in 1988. I think Dallas Theater Center was awarded it my junior year of high school.
Okay.
There's Casamignana in Fort Worth. There's Theater 3 in Dallas. Dallas has I think, at least 8 different theaters that offer equity contracts.
There you go. I didn't know that.
Equity actors.
I grew up in Detroit. I don't think there was I'm still not sure there's a lot of equity theater in Detroit. There are musicals that come through town that play someplace, but I don't know that there is a live theater that's constantly other, as opposed to like Minneapolis. I was born in Minneapolis. I know they have a huge, the Guthrie and other places here. So I don't know what makes one find a successful local audience and another not, but
because Dallas also has SMU, which has a wonderful acting program, and then I know like through Broadway Dallas, which is a touring house that brings in shows. They have the High School Musical Theater Awards that I participated in when I was in high school.
There you go.
And yeah,
so you were a theater kid. You were one of these kids into this one.
Oh yeah, I was a theater kid. I played football too, but I was also a theater kid.
I think anybody who's a theater kid in Orange County, there got to be a lot of them, because we have our own Orange County Performing Arts High School. That's a rarity. Yeah. We have Chapman, which is making its move to be certainly one of the top film schools, trying to challenge USC and others, and has had some big successes come out of there. This is Orange County is not just suburbia anymore here. This has taken on a whole different tone here, and I think that South Coast Repertory right there, smack right in the middle of across from South Coast Mall and next to the Performing Arts Center and all that stuff. You're perfectly located to see this stuff here.
Oh, yeah.
I encourage everybody to go. It only plays for a while, so it's on right now. We're doing this for those who listen later. This is the first week of October. It runs through, what, October 19th?
Correct. We got two more weeks.
Two more weeks, and do you do just one show a day, or is there twice on the weekends, matinees or something?
Our schedule is a little funky, so I think this week we go evening shows on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, two on Saturday, and a matinee on Sunday, and then it's the same schedule our following week, but we've added a Tuesday show. So we've okay. got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, two Saturday, one Sunday.
Okay. And this normally takes, what time of night are the evening shows at? 6, 8 o'clock, something? I'm trying to guess here. I'm looking at some
things. Yeah, I think like pretty much weekdays are 7, Fridays are 7:30, Saturdays are 8. Between and, 7 and 8.
And how many seats does the theater hold? It's fairly small. It's not.
I don't know for sure. I think it's like 500,
I was going to say 300, 400, 500, something like that, yeah?
Yeah.
So it's you get because that's the, if you're going to see live theater, you don't want to see it in an amphitheater.
Oh, yeah, there's not a bad seat in the house.
Exactly, exactly.
Said, we're all right there playing live. You'll feel like you're in the studio with us. It's awesome.
And is there a chance to meet the cast afterwards, or you just all, it ends and we all leave? Is there any way to connect with any of you afterwards? Do you sign autographs? Do you come out and talk to the audience, or no? I don't know how these things work anymore here.
At this theater, there's not a real distinct stage door. I find typically, like, touring houses will have a true, like, stage door experience,
right.
but...
Right.
There's really not a great way to do that here, but certainly when you think the play is over, don't leave because the play is just getting started.
Oh, okay. That's the take. That's what I was looking for, some insight into what we're going to see here.
Yeah.
It's at South Coast Repertory. Go look up scr.org if you want to buy tickets or find out more about the show. The Million Dollar Quartet. What a filled with million dollar memories here of some of the icons of early rock and roll that I certainly grew up hearing. I'm of that age, and I'd like my grandson to hear as well and to have some of experience. In a way, I couldn't be there at Sun Records when they're doing it, but maybe I'll get that same kind of live, intimate feeling watching you guys all hang out and bring that to life again here.
Totally agree.
Thank you so much for joining us here today. Again, it's South Coast Repertory, scr.org. It's go see all the shows coming up. This one's for a couple weeks. They have live theater, folks, right here in Orange County, right year-round. And they bring in not only huge, iconic productions like this, but original productions as well. Lots of interesting stuff to go see. If you like this one, you'll like more. Go check them out at scr.org. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. There you have it. If that's not amazing, I don't know what is. You can see the Million Dollar Quartet right here in Orange County right now. Go check it out at South Coast Repertory. As we continue to highlight all the things happening here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at UCI's Applied Innovation Center.